This is Paul Davey, Yield Point Specialist for Ag Services in Warren, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Farm news on the Red River Farm Network. Good morning. I'm Don Wick, along with Randy Conan in studio. We'll have reports from Whitney Pittman and Tyler Donaldson, too. Highly pathogenic avian influenza was confirmed in a Minnesota goat last week. The disease has now been identified in three Texas and one Kansas dairy herd. Another herd in New Mexico is under investigation. USDA emphasizes there is no threat to human health and all milk and dairy products remain safe. Also, no risk for properly cooked beef. The affected cows experience flu-like symptoms, including fever, loss of appetite, and a sudden drop in milk production. Veterinarians are reporting most affected cows recover within 2 to 3 weeks.
This latest blast of winter is moving to the east. National Weather Service reports snow will linger throughout much of the day east of the Red River Valley. Areas receiving snow will likely see blowing and drifting snow throughout the day. Snow is continuing across much of Minnesota at this hour, but it turns to rain over the eastern half of Minnesota and western Wisconsin. Nationally, there is rain this morning in parts of Iowa and Illinois. Further east, there's a line of storms from Louisiana to Mississippi all the way north to Ontario.
The USDA weekly crop progress reports will begin next week nationwide. North Dakota and South Dakota are among the states with reports already underway. In North Dakota, topsoil moisture is rated 51% adequate to surplus. Over half of the state's winter wheat is in good condition. North Dakota's calving progress is at 31%. Half of the state's lambing is done. Hay supplies are 88% adequate to surplus.
In South Dakota, USDA reporting 53% of the topsoil moisture is in adequate to surplus condition. 53% of the winter wheat is rated good to excellent.
Dozens of tractors have shut down the streets near the European Union headquarters in Brussels today. That's where 27 EU agriculture ministers are meeting to discuss its so-called green policies. Protests have been happening throughout Europe for the past few months, with farmers upset with the increase in regulations.
European Green Deal has been put on an indefinite hold following relentless farmer protests across the EU. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Whitney Pittman has more.
Cognitive Investments Director of Geopolitical Analysis Jacob Shapiro says this deal was too much, too fast for the European citizens to be on board.
You have to think of the European Union as a massive bureaucracy. So they move really, really slowly. So it took them a long time to prioritize the environment, and it's taking them an unequally long amount of time to respond to the pushback that they've gotten for moving too far and too fast on some of these environmental measures. And that's the second thing. You've had all these farmer protests in individual European states putting pressure on the heads of the European government saying, if you do this, you are going to put the farmers out of business. And Europe can't have these two things at the same time. It cannot be more self-sufficient geopolitically and have more food sovereignty, and then also have the Green New Deal and the European Commission's pursuit of environmentalism more generally.
The bill had been expected to pass, but Hungary changed its vote. Shapiro expects to see the EU continue to work toward passing some environmental deal despite the failed European Green Deal.
I think what's going to happen here is both sides are going to push and pull back and forth against each other, and they will reach some kind of compromise where they will still push forward environmental regulation and things like that. But they're also going to do things in such a way that Europe can be more food secure, more food sovereign, and more food independent. And I think you will see France really leading the way there. I mean, France, more than any other country in the EU, has both talked about environmentalism, but the Macron government has also been very, very transparent about wanting food sovereignty and pushing in that direction. So I think that's where you're going to see things end up. And it's just taken so much time because of how bureaucratic and how long it takes for the EU to metabolize.
Reporting Agriculture's Business, I'm Whitney Pittman on the Red River Farm Network.
The North Dakota Public Service Commission has scheduled a series of hearings to take public input on the Summit Carbon Solutions Pipeline Project. The hearings will be April 22nd in Mandan, May 24th in Wahpeton, and June 4th in Linton. This is the world's largest carbon capture and storage project, taking carbon from 50 Midwest ethanol plants to underground storage in North Dakota. Quick reminder, you can find the Red River Farm Network Agriculture Series, a salute to women in agriculture, on the Red River Farm Network website. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Tuesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. 2024 is a quarter of its way through and still don't have a new farm bill, but that doesn't mean work isn't being done to see one finished. For more, we go to Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Tyler Donaldson.
The Midwest Council on Agriculture just completed a recent trip to Washington, D.C. to meet Congress about the farm bill. Council Executive Director Allison Stock says that discussions went okay, but that partisan politics appear to be getting in the way of a new farm bill.
I think there was a lot of frustration among the members and the staff that we met with. I think everybody wants a farm bill, but I don't think that anything will happen because I don't think there is bipartisan agreement on how it would look. And our understanding is that the House Agriculture Committee Chairman, G.T. Thompson from Pennsylvania, is planning to introduce his mark after the Easter break, maybe late April, early May, his chairman's mark. But we don't know, you know, how that will play with Democrats. We don't think that they're in agreement on that, so it will probably be a partisan bill. And I think, as history has shown us over the years, that never is a good recipe for actually getting a farm bill done.
Stock says that discussions also revolved around ag labor and the Farm Workforce Modernization Act.
For years, since our council has formed, one of the big issues we are focused on is ag labor. And the Farm Workforce Modernization Act is a piece of legislation that many of our members have supported. It's stumbled quite a bit in D.C., unfortunately, and we still think it's a good piece of legislation, and we wanted to share with members that we support this kind of effort, you know, in finding workers and figuring out the cost of this program and just kind of dealing with the regulations around it as well.
That was Midwest Council on Agriculture Executive Director Allison Stock. For the Red River Farm Network, I'm Tyler Donaldson.
University of Minnesota Regional Extension Educator Anthony Hansen says the warm winter temps could mean greater soybean aphid pressure this season due to a lack of winter kill. Scouting will be important.
One of the key insects that I look at a lot is soybean aphid, and this is one we can't do too much from a preventative perspective. There are seed treatments available for certain uses if you have very late planted soybeans, but it generally won't do farmers any good or they won't get a return on investment by using seed treatments because usually the soybean aphids will still show up well after those seed treatments wear off. So instead, what we have folks do is just be out there scouting in their fields. In this case, folks know the 250 aphid threshold pretty well. That's the point where you have about a week to decide to get a spray down outside there.
Corn rootworm could also be an issue. Seed selection is key to controlling that.
So that's one that, you know, people still going to have some lead time there. Some of our other pests, corn rootworm, that one, the cold wouldn't have really affected that one too much. It didn't get very cold, and the soil level's about 4 inches down. So we probably get too much mortality there. That's one where people want to be looking at what traits they have in their corn and make sure that they have below ground traits for corn rootworm.
AgMarket.net market analyst Jacob Burke says the market action following Thursday's planting intentions and quarterly grain stocks report could get interesting.
You got an hour to trade it. You got a three-day weekend, and this will be one of the things that the first comment will be, hey, this report was, you know, was taken at the end of February right into the first of March, right? That's when the news came out. So all the rally, the positive trade that we've seen in the corn and beans, as far as what acres are bought, this is all going to show up in the June report.
And Burks expects traders to trade those USDA numbers, but then quickly move to other fresh news.
It'll be private analysts, it'll be industry new reports, and then we'll look at the June. That's kind of a typical year. I do feel like any of the downward pressure that was put in, that was what was reflected. I don't think the price is what's going to really change some of this, planning, prospective plannings. I think it's more of the macro, more of the global, you know, what's going to be there come harvest. So I don't think that the small incremental moves here will adjust acres that much. I think it's going to be mostly put on what's going on in the weather.
Brazil's ag ministry has announced 16 states are free of foot and mouth disease. The announcement comes as part of a plan to eliminate FMD from the country by 2026. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Good morning. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. NDSU Extension Agricultural Engineer Ken Hallevang reminds producers to pay attention to moisture in stored grains. If levels are high as temperatures rise, the season generally offers good drying conditions.
A lot of times we'll do natural air drying, and we need to make sure that we have an adequate quantity of airflow, and then also we do typically have pretty good drying conditions in the spring. And so if we're looking at corn or soybeans, I'd say wait until the average temperature is above about 40 degrees. If we're working with wheat, that we need about a 50-degree temperature typically in order to get the wheat dry enough for summer storage.
Working with and drying stored grain can pose some safety hazards.
Grain dust is a known hazard, and so anytime we're working around dusty grain, particularly if there might be any mold spores around, it's important that we be wearing respiratory protection. And then last but not least is that if we start having crusting in a bin, that can lead to a number of problems. So we just need to keep that in mind and not get ourselves in danger by doing something without thinking.
The KWS Group is selling its South American corn breeding business to an Argentine-based company called GDM. This does not impact the KWS sugar beet seed portfolio. However, KWS released a statement saying the company is exploring various strategic options for its North American seed corn business. KWS sells corn and soybean seed through its North American company AgReliant Genetics. That includes the AgriGold and LG Seed brands.
The Canadian Pork Council and the Canadian Cattle Association are monitoring the developments of the new product of the USA rule. USDA announced only beef and pork products that came from animals that were born, raised, slaughtered, and processed in the United States would qualify for that special labeling. The Canadian Livestock Group said the rules are similar to the country of origin labeling law that was stopped in 2015 and is a violation of global trade rule.
Checking markets, we're down a nickel for Minneapolis wheat May at 654 and a half. Chicago wheat for May down 1 3/4, and we're down 6 cents for that same contract for KC wheat. May corn down 1 1/4, 436 and a half. New crop down 1 3/4 as we speak. May soybeans down 7 1/2, 1201 3/4. New crop down by 6. Checking in on the farm calendar, the NDSU soybean symposium will be held tomorrow. That's in Fargo, looking at all types of research and innovation. Also on tap, a Women's Agricultural Leadership Conference going on in Minnesota. It'll be held Wednesday, April 10th. Chaska is the location for this year's event. They'll be having roundtable discussions, breakout groups, looking at all types of ag issues, policy, mental health, and more. Have a great day. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.